Okay, 7 o'clock, time to call to order the Town Discovery Bay Normal Community Service District Board Meeting. If I can have you all stand up and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. If there's any members of the public who are online that wishes to address the board, this is your opportunity. You could bring up anything that's not on tonight's agenda. You'll be given 3 minutes, and if you could identify yourself, we'd appreciate it. So if there's any members of the public, do you wish to speak? Okay, hearing none, I will close public comments and I'll move to the consent calendar. Is there any item that wish to be, does any board member wish to move?
Move acceptance of the consent.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gattell?
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. I will move forward to area agency reports. I don't believe there's a member of Jim Fraser's office on the line, so we'll move forward to Diane Fraser's office. Leah, are you there?
Good evening, Board. It's Leah Castleberry with Supervisor Diane Fergus's office. I'm just going to give a quick update on COVID and code enforcement. Starting with COVID, the Bay Area sees a rapid rise in COVID-19 cases, triggering a new health order requiring universal masking in indoor public settings. Due to a sharp increase in COVID-19 cases in Contra Costa and nearby counties, Contra Costa Health Services and 7 other jurisdictions issued a new health order mandating the wearing of face coverings in indoor public settings regardless of vaccination status. Over a 2-week period ending July 27th, the seven-day rolling average of new cases more than doubled from 136 cases per day to 289 cases per day. Discovery Bay has had 6 new cases over the last 14 days. Hospitalizations have also more than doubled during the same time period from a total of 52 to 140. The Delta variant is the predominant strain in Contra Costa. Over the last 2 weeks, our public health lab successfully sequenced 122 COVID-19 specimens and almost 80% were Delta. Contra Costa Health Services urges everyone ages 12 and older to get a COVID-19 vaccine. Right now, a little over 56% of the Discovery Bay population is vaccinated. And then code enforcement, sorry, there's a tractor coming in right now. It's only feeding time at 7 o'clock. Discovery Bay for code enforcement, this is just a heads up to residents that Contra Costa County Code Enforcement is planning a community sweep for boats, trailers, and RVs. So this is your friendly reminder to get your toys moved and stored before you get tagged. And that will conclude my report, and sorry for the noise.
Thank you. Does any board members have any questions?
Hi, Leah.
Hello.
I don't have any questions.
Oh, it's just a friendly hi. Hi.
You sound just like Leah Rodriguez, but I guess you're Leah Castleberry.
Everybody knows me as Castleberry.
I know.
I'm just going to stick with that for the time being.
Thank you for the report, Leah. I appreciate it. Then let's move forward. Is there a member of the Sheriff's Office online?
Yes, good evening. Mark Johnson with the Sheriff's Department. All right, so for Discovery Bay, for the month of July, we had 456 calls for service. We took 45 reports. At the station house, we made a total of 28 arrests. We did see a bit of an uptick in crime this month for Discovery Bay. Some of the reports that we did take, we made a total of 4 different warrant arrests. just everybody that was from traffic stops and whatnot. We took four people for mental health evaluations. I made a traffic stop on Bixler and Point of Timber, and ultimately that person was driving under the influence, and CHP took that over. We took one missing persons report where an elderly person was missing. That person was found and found to be safe. We investigated two non-criminal deaths. One of our deputies spotted a suspicious vehicle near the Sandy Cove Shopping Center. They tried to make a traffic stop on it. The vehicle took off. The short pursuit, which went east on Ford towards Stockton. Once it hit the first bridge, the pursuit was terminated due to the speed, which is about 80, 90 miles per hour, and the vehicle swerving in and out of traffic going the wrong way. That car was ultimately, the plate was registered to Mountain View. Our detectives have put that license plate in our system as a felony wanted vehicle, and to this day, I don't think that car has been found yet. One evening, I was actually out in Discovery Bay. I noticed another suspicious vehicle leaving the Safeway. There was a guy and girl inside. I made a traffic stop on that car. There was over $1,000 worth of stolen groceries in the back seats. The driver ended up admitting to stealing those groceries, and he was placed under arrest for grand theft. And the passenger, the female, gave a couple different names, but we ultimately found out what her real name was, and she had multiple warrants out of San Joaquin County, which included some gun charges. So that was a real good arrest out there. We took one felony battery report where somebody was hit over the head with a boot. We had two interesting cases with the same suspect. And this suspect I know for the last 15 years or so, and he's real big in breaking into houses. So the first call that we got was off of Bolinas Place. I think I pronounced that correctly. And I think it was somebody on their surveillance camera. They were home, but saw that somebody, they think somebody went inside their house. So we arrived on scene, found that the door was ajar. We went in. We actually had one of our canines with us as well. The suspect was actually located in upstairs on the balcony. I think he was going to try to jump off, but one of the deputies in the backyard saw him. He was taken into custody. So it turns out what he did was he pulled out his cord, and it looked like nobody in the area was home, and he pulled up into the driveway. He got out, and he started trying door handles of all the houses on that court. Most were locked. The one that we found him in was unlocked. That's how he was able to get in. After taking him in custody, the next door neighbor, who didn't report this, so before he went into that house, he went to the house where somebody was home, actually went inside the house. The lady was upstairs by herself. So he was downstairs, and he went through her purse. He took a bunch of credit cards and whatnot. He walked upstairs and was confronted by the homeowner. The homeowner was surprised, saying, "What are you doing in the house?" He said something, the fact was he had the wrong house and left. So he was charged with burglary for both of those houses, as well as another package theft in the area. 2 weeks later, same type of thing. He pulled into a court. I think that was off of Newport. And same thing, he pulled into a driveway. He gets out, and he starts trying door handles at different houses. Somebody spotted him doing that, called us, and we subsequently contacted him again. This time, he didn't get into a house. But he had some stolen property in his car. He had some drugs, and he had four different warrants out of four different counties. For theft and burglary-related offenses. So I'm hoping he's still in custody, but at this point, you know, who knows? It's so frustrating right now with our justice system. So you know, we'll keep tabs on him and where he's at. But he's from Oakley, so he tends to kind of do things around the area here. Another case that we took was a golf cart that was stolen from in front of somebody's house. It appears that there may be some juveniles that were responsible for that. We had two catalytic converter thefts. Our detectives did put out a bait car one night. They didn't get any takers, but when things slow down for them again, they're going to put that car out again at a couple different locations and see if we can get some hits. But that still seems to be a hot topic all over the place with these catalytic converters. We took three identity thefts. We had one residential burglary where a safe was stolen, and they said there was probably about $22,000 inside that safe. We don't have any suspects or leads in that case. We checked three different vandalism reports. And lastly, we have some information that there was a marijuana grow over at one of the houses inside the lakes. Our deputies actually went out there today and made contact with somebody at the house who said that there was no grow there. If you wouldn't let us inside, there was some suspicious activity. But what we think what's going on is people from the hemp farm are leaving there and then going to different houses and dropping their load off. And we think that might be one of the houses where they're doing it, and maybe not necessarily a grow there, but we'll keep tabs on that. Other than that, I'm open for questions.
I think you shocked most of the board members tonight with your report.
Yeah, it was a very, very, very busy month, I'll tell you.
Well, I'm not seeing any questions, just a friendly reminder, next weekend, there's a couple big activities happening here in Discovery Bay. The Big Cat Poker Run, which will be at the marina, and then the community concert at the community center.
Yeah, I think that's the 14th, or what date was that?
The 14th, correct.
Yeah, I want to have a couple extra deputies out there during that time.
We've already notified your Marine Division and are working with them also to make sure that they're aware of the situation.
Yeah, fantastic. They should all be working anyway, so we'll make sure they stay out there.
Well, great. Thank you, Lieutenant Johnson. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Do we have a member of the CHP department?
Yes. Hello, everyone. Officer Thomas with the CHP out here. Hey, how's it going, guys? The activity for last month, arrest-wise, I start out with always, DUIs we had last month under the influence of alcohol, arrest-wise, we had 7 for under the influence of alcohol, 2 for under the influence of other than alcohol, i.e. drugs. Arrest, we had 1 warrant arrest, 1 arrest for a hit-and-run collision, 1 arrest for reckless driving, racing. Looks like 3 for driving on suspended licenses and 2 for driving on driving unlicensed, which I believe all of those were cited and released except for the DUIs. Citations-wise issued, last month was like 19 for speed, 2 for reg, 1 equipment violation, 2 right away, 2 for unsafe passing, i.e. using the shoulder, 1 seatbelt, 1 stop sign, and 5 warnings were issued. Today I was out in Discovery Bay. I did a little bit of enforcement over on Newport and Clipper. I wrote, I think, 2 tickets for speed on Newport, 2 for, on Clipper for speed. I think I gave a warning on one of those streets, too. I think it was Clipper I gave a warning to. And then I went over and worked Discovery Bay Elementary on River Lake there for during the drop-off time when the kids were going. I did 7 enforcement stops during the about 40-30 minutes that I was there, which resulted in 3 citations I issued for speed through a school zone, and I gave 4 warnings, written warnings for basically a U-turn over WL lines in the business school district right there. I did hear that there's a poker run coming up on the 14th. I'll relay that information. I'll see if I can get some of the B units that will be working that day to kind of hang out in the area, hopefully help out. More presence, better to keep people chill. That is predominantly what's going on. Highway 4, we've been doing quite a bit more enforcement out there. Today, yesterday, I was hitting Highway 4. I was out in Disco running that stretch for a little bit. I did get a gentleman that was frustrated, and I stopped him for passing 2 big rigs utilizing the shoulder out there. But you're going to start seeing hopefully some more enforcement out there. Our new commander is really big into realizing Highway 4 is not a fun highway to drive on, and he's trying to make sure we're doing a lot more enforcement out there. So we have 2 called SEU units that are predominantly just working Highway 4, but they're working from the stretch all the way from 80 all the way down to the full Brentwood area right in there. So hopefully that will be quite effective. People have noticed that, so hopefully speed starts slowing down and we can reduce the number of collisions and the death rate out there, mileage death rate, that's called. So let's see, anything else on here? That looks like everything right there. Do you guys have any questions or concerns or anything?
I'm seeing head shaking no, but it sounds like you're busy as well.
Yeah, which is good. When you're busy, it kind of keeps things going a little bit, so it makes the day go by a little quicker sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we like to hear that there's no activity and everyone's behaving properly.
That would be a phenomenal report to have that. You know what? We had no arrests and no citations. That would be awesome.
Officer Thomas, appreciate it. Thank you so much for your report.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, have a night. Is there a member of the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District?
Yeah, good evening, Board. Detention McCumber here.
Good evening.
Good evening. All right. We had a pretty busy July. So in Discovery Bay, there were 72 calls for service with an average response time of 952. As most everybody knows, on July 21st, there was a fire at the Boardwalk Grill. It did cause some moderate damage to the kitchen and the back area. That is still under investigation by our Fire Prevention Bureau. District-wide, we had 759 calls for service for July, which that is a lot. Don't have a ton of stats because usually the first couple days of the month the stats populate, but I can tell you that we did respond to 6 residential structure fires and 4 commercial fires and 16 vegetation fires. So it's that time of year, obviously, lots of fire activity in and around the region. The other big thing I will hit on is the annexation discussion. So as I left you all last meeting, I had told you that it was going to the Board of Supervisors and our board and the Rodeo Hercules Fire Board because they're part of the discussion. So there was a slight delay due to the Board of Supervisor meeting running long. However, they were able to get to their meeting within the next week after the original meeting. So both the County Board of Supervisors and our local fire board both unanimously accepted the report and are now moving on to the resolutions for the boards. So the next phase is next week's fire board meeting, which is Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., and the County Board of Supervisors meeting, which is actually the Tuesday. Those resolutions are going to the boards for a full vote. If those pass both the Board of Supervisors and our fire board, we will then begin the process within days of submitting our application to LAFCO to be annexed in the Contra Costa County Fire Protection District. So there is an end in sight to this whole process. I know I've been talking about it since probably November, but we are almost there. And once our application goes to LAFCO, then it has to go through the whole LAFCO process for final approval. Now, I will say our fate, the fate of the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District, is not dependent on the Rodeo Hercules District. They have had some issues over there with messaging, and so they're a little bit behind. So they're doing some more community meetings and things of that sort. But what's going on out there does not affect what's going on with us. So there may be a staggered annexation for them at a later date, but us and Contra Costa Fire are moving forward, and I hope that everybody next week has time to watch the Board of Supervisors meeting, and if you don't, watch our Fire Board meeting next Wednesday night, at 6:30 p.m. It's being streamed. Obviously, we're not doing it in person like everyone else, so please be on that Fire Board meeting so you'll know how the board resolution goes. So it should be a pretty exciting meeting. What that means, for some of you who are in the audience tonight don't know, that means the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District will cease to exist, but your area will be covered by Contra Costa County Fire. All of our employees will be moving over to that new fire, will be a new larger fire department, And then the process after that is to get more engines staffed over the next 2-year span into the eastern part of the area. So it's a bigger fire department, more resources, a better quality service, able to serve what is a rapidly growing community in East County. So again, please attend our meeting. And with that, I'm available for questions.
I don't believe we have any questions. Excellent report, and we'll definitely be on the fire board meeting to watch to see what happens.
Excellent, excellent. All right, everybody have a good evening, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you, John G.
Thank you.
Okay, then we'll move forward. We don't have any presentation. We'll move forward to F1. Aaron, I believe this is you.
We're going to turn this over to Justin. I believe Justin's on the line. Are you there, Justin?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Hey, Justin.
So, this item is... Hi, how's everybody doing? This item on item F is regarding the installation of 2 monitoring wells before you on the staff report. The installation is regarding filling a data gap analysis, filling the data gaps for the groundwater sustainability plan. That groundwater sustainability agency working group that Discovery Bay is a part of, and there's 2 monitoring wells that have been identified within the Discovery Bay jurisdiction that are going to be used to monitor the very shallow groundwater in the area to collect the data needed, essentially to identify in the GSP that the groundwater that the district pumps in the deeper aquifer is doesn't have any impact on surface water or on the shallow groundwater ecology. So it's been identified through the development of the GSP that the wells, there are 2 wells that are needed in Discovery Bay, and the team met with district staff and identify the most ideal location for these, which is at Cornell Park. And I would just point out that all of the installation is covered under the Prop 68 grant funding. So none of the installation cost is something that is borne on the district. And we are tonight seeking the board's approval to allow this installation to take place within the district's jurisdiction. And we provided a summary at the landscape meeting on Monday, and then also just earlier today at the Water Wastewater Committee. So I'll keep it brief right now and just leave it at that. And if there's any questions or if I missed any of the really important parts, I can mention it.
Well, I'll just add that at the Park and Recs Committee special meeting, this was presented, and both Director Porter and myself had no issue with this particular project.
I'll chime in and say the same thing for water, wastewater. Both Director Graves and myself had no issues with it.
I'd make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation.
I second.
Roll call, please.
Director Graham? Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President
Gattell? Aye.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll move forward to Manager's Report. Monica, Community Center Pool.
Good evening, everyone.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I probably should open up public comments for that last...
We're just thinking the same thing.
So I'll be a little remiss here. Was there any public comments regarding the 2 well proposals at Cornell Park? Okay, good. Hearing that, then we'll close public comments. Sorry about that.
So I want to give you an update on what's going on with our pool. The concrete pad for the equipment was poured and is complete. All of that is looking good. Tough Shed was scheduled to be delivered last week, and it didn't come. So Mike Iraka and I have been calling tirelessly to get an update on that. Hadn't been receiving a response. I did speak to our rep today. I called her. She apologized. She had been on vacation for more than a week, and that's why we weren't getting a return call. But she is back now. And we received confirmation that the Tough Shed will be delivered in pieces. It comes in a kit. So that will be here this Monday. So we'll get that off-hauled and ready to go. Then NAS needs to come in to install, build the shed, and put all the equipment back. Mike Iraka is coordinating that. He sent an email to them today. As of this meeting, I had not received, he and I are copied on everything. So no update on that yet, but we just sent that today. Adam's Pool will be here on Monday to set up for getting the concrete decking where the moat, as I refer to it, was with all the piping went in. So they'll be out Monday to start setting that and getting ready for the pre-deck inspection. That will take approximately a week. Then you have to have inspection passed, and then they can pour after decking inspection. In the same time, they'll be working on installing the anchors for the handrails, backstroke flags, all that kind of stuff to get those anchors in. That's kind of that part of the pool. But I did want to share with you all that we've been working on trying to get predator pricing for the chemicals instead of carrying them in those 30 or 55 gallon drums and having our lifeguards switch them in and out, which isn't really a great idea. So in an effort to reduce costs, we've been working with Univar. They actually can supply us with chlorine and acid in bulk. So the acid would be in a 250-gallon tank, and the chlorine would be in a 400-gallon tank. Those tanks are included at no charge. So they deliver it. They take care of everything. It's like turnkey. So we pulled some numbers from back in 2017-18, what we paid for the barrels. And actually buying it in bulk is going to be approximately a 30% savings, even from back then. If prices don't rise, because everything seems to be. But that's as of a quote that I actually received today. We also pre-planned ahead when we had that concrete pad poured for the equipment. We had a separate pad poured with anticipation of hoping to save money and put these drums on. So that's all done. So once we get that, I'm going to work on getting a couple more prices, though, other than just Univar. So working on that as well. That is my update for you. Do you have any questions?
Excellent. So the area you had poured for additional chemicals, if we were storing them on site and getting them in bulk, is that a covered area or just an enclosed?
That was all part of our original plan.
All right.
Yeah.
And the slab's already poured for the Tough Shed, correct?
Correct.
And when you talk about the hardscape that they're going to come work on, that's the walkways around the pool where the rebar, and the rebar's got to go in and be inspected, and then the concrete's poured?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is there an updated completion date, or are we still on schedule? Or?
We're actually on schedule from the report we gave a month or so ago. The concrete got poured, I think I have my notes over there, I think, in July, and we had said that August 2nd to the 24th-ish should be the Tough Shed installation, equipment, and all that. So if everything goes according to what Mike Iraka and I had originally planned, hopefully it would still be like end of September.
Thank you.
Okay, so you did bring up one little possible hiccup to the Park and Rec Committee as well as the Finance Committee, and that had to do with the AstroTurf pricing.
Oh, that, you want me to give an update on that? That was not part of my pool. I can.
Yes. Give an update. It's part of a pool, so go ahead and give an update on that.
Well, and most of the board has heard, except for, I think, Director Graham.
No, I think I have that to memory, actually. Yeah. So, as you know, we had discussed doing, at one of the meetings, doing all synthetic turf out there for around where the dirt is right now. So we had originally gotten an estimate from a company back in March. The cost was going to be about approximately $55,000. We went out. We had seven people come to our job walk. We had our bid opening July 28th. We had only two people turn in a bid. One was $113,000. The other was $166,000. So prices have literally doubled since March. So one of the things we talked about was, and this is, I always use this phrase, a big crystal ball that none of us has, but we do the best, right? We can kind of try to project, is if the pool for rec swimming isn't going to possibly open and we can do lap swimming, like we had talked about, when the pool opens, perhaps what we can do, instead of trying to be fiscally responsible and not, because we know they were $55,000 at one time, can that change, is revisit that in the winter months, see what happens, come up with another plan, bring it back, see what you all think. And in the meantime, if we can open for lap swimming, roping that section off where it's dirt, laying some fabric barrier for like a weed control, because people can still, there's still plenty of concrete decking for the number of people that would typically come to lap swim. So that's something that we, an idea we tossed around to not jump into spending $113,000. But we definitely want to open that up and get, start getting direction from the board.
Right, so that was one idea. So if I could just kind of surmise it.
Yeah, please.
If my understanding is correct, we could postpone moving forward on the AstroTurf and see if there's any adjustments of pricing at a later point. Mm-hmm. Or we could move forward and just unfortunately pay the additional amount, because that's the new reality of the cost.
Right.
And then obviously the risk factor is, by waiting, we run the risk of it could be even more than what it's currently at, and
good.
Lead times can be much greater than what we're looking at. But the lead time currently at the 113 is still makes matches what with your September schedule.
They told us yes. You know, if all that. We also looked just for FYI, Bill and I kind of ran
not on the agenda. We can't take action.
Based on
the pool update.
The concrete we just poured.
Pool update's not an
action item. About $35.
It's an informational item.
Everything is really high right now.
But it all goes back to staff too.
I definitely think we need to have some discussion on that. I just want to clarify. Let's say artificial surface rather than AstroTurf, because AstroTurf kind of gives that connotation of the old-fashioned
synthetic
turf. Thank you.
Yeah.
Astrodome.
Yeah, that stuff was like hitting concrete, man. Okay. I have no other comments.
Do we have any public comments?
There's no other public on the line chair.
Okay, not those public comments. Well, since there's no action item, it's just more of an FYI.
It is.
And then I guess you'll bring it back to the board at a later point to decide what we want to do.
Yeah, we talked about going back to those that did submit a bid and asking some more questions, but wanted to bring this update to thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't believe we have a general manager report, so we'll go to director reports. Director Gray, do you want to go over the finance committee that we have?
Yeah, we just went over we went over the last year's budget and looked at where we were and where we ended up with revenue and expenses. They both kind of complemented each other. The revenue was up a little and the expenses was up a little. So. And then we also talked about the upcoming transition between the county handling our funds and us handling our funds ourselves and how that's working. And it seems to be smooth without any real sticklers. And we think that it's going to move, once it starts the process, it's going to move through pretty quickly, and pretty soon we'll be writing our own checks. Anything I missed on that, Brian?
No, that was
okay. And that's it for me.
General Ops, you guys had a committee meeting as well?
We did. We reviewed the draft of the emergency response plan. That will come to full board soon.
Next meeting.
So it looked great. A lot of work went into it. We were happy with it. There was a few minor changes, but we should all see that next. That was it.
Awesome. Then I get water wastewater guys at a committee as well.
Go ahead, Ash.
So we reviewed the projects, the diffuser project and the denitrification project. It looks like there is going to be a delay in the diffuser project.
Dial the number, then press the pound key.
To
return to conference, press star.
Star?
Returning to conference.
It's not going to cause us any issues with our deadlines and stuff with the county, but based on what was brought to water wastewater previously and the design of it, that's saving quite a bit of money. We're still gonna pull permits and stuff, so we stay on top of that. So that looks like it's going to be another year. The denitrification project, they are working on that and the rehab of well one. There's a slight delay in that. That's by COVID, but it's not a lot. It's a month, and that's not going to affect any of the other things that we need to do with the county. And then we reviewed the monitoring wells.
Okay, great, thank you. I guess we had a couple of our director reports for regional training, regional meeting and training reports.
They have been submitted.
Code enforcement, I can just say that Leah gave a good summary of that, but they're going to be doing a sweep of boats, trailers, RVs. They discuss, you know, some of the complaints of those being out on the roads, and we're obviously putting that on the board for the public. So that is TBD coming soon.
Great. Thank you. Correspondence received. Who's going to?
It's just for informational purposes for the board.
Okay. Any future agenda items? Hearing done, then I guess 7:36, meeting adjourned.